welcome to our podcast, Hoteliers Hot Topics with the IHG Owners Association. I'm Carly. I work for the association, and myself and my colleague John are bringing you this series of podcasts aimed at all IHG hoteliers discussing hot topics in the market. We'll be bringing you key insights from our incredible guests who are all specialists across various markets and roles in the hospitality industry. These podcasts are not staged interviews by any stretch. We will be having genuine, honest, roundtable discussions together, sharing to you golden nuggets of information that you can hopefully take back to your hotels and businesses to assist your future success. We will be sharing visions, best practice, and market insights on a variety of topics, because as an association, we know that we're better together. So let's get started on today's podcast, our first ever in the series. Today's session, we're going to be talking all things commercial. Our special guests today are Carol Dodds, SVP Commercial at Interstate Hotels and Resorts, Andrew Secker, Group Director of Sales at RBH Management, and your host today is going to be our very own John Stewart from the IHG Owners Association. We want to thank you all for your time today. And John, over to you.
Okay. Thanks, Carly, for that introduction. Just like to introduce myself. My name's John Stewart. I'm going to be the host of this commercial podcast today. Just a wee bit of background about myself before I introduce you to our two lovely panelists today. I previously was the COO at RBH Hospitality Management and the chair of the European Owners Association. Carol, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, John. So I'm Carol Dodds, and I am SVP Commercial for Interstate Hotels and Resorts International Division. So we have about 130 hotels covering the UK, Continental Europe, Russia, and CIS. I'm responsible for all things commercial, actually. So sales, marketing, revenue management, and distribution. We're a pure third-party management company. We've got bases in Amsterdam, Glasgow, and Birmingham. So that's my role. With regards to the OA contribution, I've been chair of the Digital Distribution and Commercial Committee for four years now, I think. We have a really great committee with superb attendance. And also, I am the European representative on the Global Digital Committee. So
Andrew?
Thanks, John. I'm Andrew Secker. I'm Group Director of Sales at RBH Hospitality Management. We manage multiple hotels across the UK and Ireland, working with some of the larger international brands and a number of independent hotels as well. So in my role, I manage the on-property sales teams and our own central RBH sales team, supporting our hotels right across the portfolio and working with my commercial heads responsible for ensuring commercial plans and activity for each and every of one of our hotels. I also represent the UK on the DDC, which Carol just referred to, and I represent Europe on the Global Forum for Sales as well. So really pleased to be here.
Thanks, guys. So let's just get this show on the road. It's been a challenging 18 months for our industry. It's been very pleasant today to actually meet you in person for the first time in so long. Can you maybe just give some insight into the summer you've both had through the businesses that you manage? Maybe this time we'll kind of start with you, Carol.
Yeah, sure. And as you say, it's so nice to be out and about and be in London, and it feels great and busy. And it has been a pretty crazy summer. I think we've all experienced a release of new and pretty varied demand that we're not used to. Hotels in coast and country destinations have had fairly exceptional demand. There's also been things like the impact of exclusive use, whether it's been taking out inventory within specific markets or changing supply, or even our own evaluation of accepting some of these exclusive use events, whether it be airport properties or in some of our city centres, which has all been quite extraordinary. And I think just secondary to that, we were all seriously concerned about our city's performance at the start of the cycle, especially as we headed out from that crazy May bank holiday that we can all remember, but we'll maybe talk about the ops impact of that in a second. But I think it's great to see The city's now starting to regenerate, as predominantly on the back of the coast and country destinations being full. So there's literally nowhere for anybody to go. But what it's done is it's allowed people to have confidence to get back in the cities, to travel, to enjoy the citywide experience. And, you know, now we're seeing some incredible performances, the likes of Newcastle, Glasgow followed suit, now Manchester. It's just great to see in the regions and also in the likes of continental Europe, where Amsterdam is now feeding back, whereas The Hague did brilliantly well on the back of European leisure trade. Now we're starting to see that back in the cities. So that's really great. I know, Andrew, you've probably had the same experience, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's funny. I was on our way here today and sitting, trying to wait for a cab to arrive. And isn't that amazing that London was so busy? We weren't actually able to get a taxi, and the tubes and the trains, they're all bustling. And it does feel like we've moved on into a new phase or continued a busy phase, because likewise, saw across the summer, immense amount of boom in this staycation trend we've been experiencing, particularly, as you say, in the regions, but encouragingly, a lot of business in the provincial cities, but also in London as well. We're seeing the tourism return, domestic, obviously, haven't benefited that inbound, which has impacted from a rate perspective, but from an occupancy perspective, been really helpful and useful as well. We've seen some of that domestic leisure and group base supporting us, but also in the lower demand areas outside of the city, in the kind of in the secondary locations, we've been able to underpin with groups, projects, government business as well. So that has been that level of business related occupancy to supplement what we've been seeing in this leisure demand.
And some of those projects have been crazy, haven't they? I mean, entertainment business and construction, the whole manufacturing, that's really underpinned where some of the leisure business, the core leisure international groups, just hasn't been there.
It's been so good. Those active segments, particularly construction, probably segments that we wouldn't normally focus on, but actually have been real bread and butter business for us. So entertainment, filming projects, there's been a lot of pent-up demand, being able to take advantage of that as well. So plenty of opportunities in different markets that we wouldn't usually have been able to or wouldn't have wanted to particularly focus.
That sounds, it's a great introduction to some of this commercial segments. Can maybe pick up on one of the things you spoke about there, Carol, just for some of our European owners. You saw that there seems to have been a divide between Europe and, you know, continental Europe and the UK. Is that something that, is that gap narrowing or?
Yeah, thankfully so. In all of the stats you see, UK is absolutely leading the charge with our recovery. And it was very difficult in the early part of the year with, of course, border restrictions come into play, and they changed so dramatically. And of course, domestic demand was just heavily influenced, because you would usually have quite a lot of international trade, and some of the big cities like Amsterdam were just obliterated. And challenging thing for us is ADR has been impacted more in those cities than we felt in the UK. But as I say, places like The Hague in the Netherlands, which is a incredible tourist destination, places like Antwerp that wouldn't traditionally have a busy summer, has had extraordinary performance. And you really just hope that some of this domestic traffic starts to retain that and we get that enjoyment for years to come, really. But it's great to see things starting to improve. We need to be watching our passenger numbers, Schiphol starting to get some of the busiest performances that they've had for many, many months. And that's all got to go in very positive stead for us. It maybe is worthwhile, John, talking about Russia as well, because the very start of the recovery, you know, Moscow was extraordinary, and it was the first market really to get great recovery. Of course, January is a traditionally busy period out there. And then, of course, big challenges with the impact of rising cases, vaccinations being particularly slow, and that caused us with a massive blip. So they traded from 80% occupancy right back down to 45, 50%. And we're still starting to level off. It's difficult, but the likes of St. Pete's Moscow are starting to recover, but it still is not enjoying the same performances.
And I know, Andrew, I don't think you manage any hotels in the continent, but you saw some of that recovery being very patchy within the UK as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, predominantly, we saw some unprecedented levels of demand coming in, particularly around the the more obvious ones, the coastal locations, like Blackpool. But it's been a really mixed piece. There has been some challenges, and challenges as well in terms of staffing levels, which is a big concern right across the industry, regardless of brand or independent, where being able to get the talent into the hotels and retaining talent is a real challenge. And in certain locations had to actually cap some of the occupancies and change the business mix and the whole process and have to yield the business differently because we're operating on reduced inventory. And that's to retain and make sure that we're delivering the service levels to be able to make sure we're getting that repeat business back.
It sounds like there's been a real change in the dynamics between operations and operation and commercial within things. If I look at before and where my experience was, operations would always be demanding, you know, sales, commercial teams to go out and get revenue. And now they're kind of pushing back that they can't handle that kind of occupancy.
I was just going to say to that point, John, we actually, in some of our core destinations were actually trying to outprice to slow demand down. And in fact, in some of the cities, like, oh my God, they're still buying it. It's like, God, how far do we need to go? But these are some of the tactics we've needed to deploy. You would never really expect to see.
And I think that's actually the case also going forward. We need to really think about our business mix as we look forward as well, because we need to be looking at that pricing piece and taking the business that we want. So although perhaps there is that traditional pushback that actually we don't need quite that much business from the sales segment, it's more about allocating ourselves now to what we do need, which may be a different picture from where we were pre-pandemic.
I think that's a great point, which I think we'll pick up later in the conversation. Was there any other pressures within operations apart from the labour shortages that we're all seeing?
I think we're all experiencing the challenges with third-party suppliers as well, with linen and so forth, and those utility costs and the pressure that's going on in the business. And therefore, while it's encouraging to see that leisure demand, and as you say, following a similar suit of being able to price higher because we need to, but it's really about maintaining that level of thought going to the other segments as well as we look to the future to compensate for those higher fixed cost base that's coming into the business. We have to drive that rate and seek it whichever segment we can to compensate for these increased costs.
Yeah, I was just going to say on the supply chain piece, I mean, this was on a day-to-day basis. We were changing from a 170-bed hotel to a 140-bed hotel and then needing to change your tactics from a revenue management perspective to appropriately price in that vein. And, you know, it's just, I think our teams have been incredible on property. I think there was a massive misalignment at the moment between guest expectations and delivery because of the cycle that we came from. And Andrew and I were chatting earlier about how this is a demographic that we've never had before because we're almost 90% full of domestic leisure demand, whereas usually you've got a bit of a split. You've got multi-occupancy rooms, so instead of maybe 170 people for breakfast, you've got 350 or wanting to eat within the space of an hour and a half. And these are incredible pressure points for our teams. And it's been a real battle from us from a commercial angle where we're trying to do everything we can. And of course, for owners' expectations to drive performance and then thinking about the pressure that we're putting our teams under. It's been a real battle.
I so agree with you, Carol. I mean, interestingly, for some of the resort hotels that benefit from swimming pools and so forth, when you've usually with a business traveller, people might pack their gym clothes, might pack their swim costume, but probably won't even use it. Of course, leisure guests, 90% of the mix, they're in with the kids, everyone's trying to pile in. So it just produces a different set of concerns that the operational team will have to overcome.
Yeah, and I know the Owners Association are working with IHG to try and alleviate some of those pinpoints around the labour and the distribution challenges the hotels have had. I think that's a fantastic start and overview of all things commercial. I think, Andrew, if I kind of switch it up a wee bit and just talk about, you know, the impact of the brand. I know both of you have multi-brands and also have some, I think, independent hotels. I think Carol's nodding. So, Andrew, would you like to see, I mean, you know, the brands have supported you specifically?
Yeah.
Especially with IHG.
Yeah, definitely. I think it IHG have been exceptional in terms of the level of support we've had, particularly from the sales activity around the task force that have been created, the playbooks, the active segments that they identified. And they were very early up to that in terms of when teams were going out on furlough and changes were happening in the first lockdown. IHG were very quick to react and to move into focusing where the business travel was still going on. And by that, I'm obviously from a corporate perspective, rail, oil and gas, construction. So trying to drive those elements, and then great support on the government piece throughout, which has been actually an ongoing piece now. We've moved through different phases, quarantine, Afghan relocations. That kind of business has been for the right hotel. You know, if it's right for them, it's been a really supportive measure. And also in sports, we had great traction this year from IHG in terms of supports for sports groups and teams and for entertainment as well. So they've picked out particular task force and projects which really underpin the business and continue to do so. So it's been a really useful, and their work as well on the agents, the particular agents that drive those segments, having the team still in place and switching resource to help drive, you know, if I take the government as an example, to making sure that we're working effectively with Amex for MAD or CTM for government quarantine business, Calder for the wider groups, government piece. So that expertise has really supported our businesses particularly.
Do you know, Andrew, what I think's been remarkable, and I know our sales leaders would feel the same, it's really been sales times to shine, because it's been back to doing business in the traditional way. It's all been about relationships. It's been about how we really engage, and also being aware that these organizations have been impacted in the same way. So they had to fill a lot of their team. They've much, much more lean. They need slick, fast responses. We were working weekends. You were getting calls from IHG at 11 o'clock at night saying, we need space in Newcastle from tomorrow. And the team did everything they could to make it happen. And I just think it's brought us all closer as a unit, you know, and I think Debbie and the guys have done a remarkable job helping us navigate what's been an ever-changing landscape and still do.
I completely agree with you. It's almost reverted at certain parts over the last 18 months to how it was a few years ago, with distribution not playing the same role, corporate business not coming through GDS, we're looking at group blocks. It was all about turnaround times, relationships. And that's where I completely agree with you. I think the IHG team, they were working. I was having conversations throughout the weekends, nights, to be able to place. And there seemed a real passion in the team to win this, which really was appreciated.
Yeah, I mean, I think that just kind of sums up what an incredible industry we all work in. Yeah. You know, from the people on the floor in the hotels, whether it be housekeepers or F&B staff, all the way through to general managers, up through the management companies, the brands, and how they've absolutely adapted to a very challenging situation all the way through it. And you know, we know that we still have a long way to go, and that's probably for one of our other podcasts that we're going to pick up. Just on that, I know, Carol, that through this, one of your roles, as I think you said at the beginning, was that you headed up the European commercial piece on the Owners Association, but you also link into the global boards. And I know that you've done some work in about streamlining that to make it more appropriate to the changing circumstance. Can you maybe give some background to that, please?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed chairing the Digital Distribution and Commercial Committee, which Andrew is a great and very active representative of. And Paul Proctor joined us, gosh, how long's Paul? About a year now, I think. And of course, Paula Ball with IHG. They've came in and allowed us to really change up how this committee works and operates. And over the last 18 months, we've needed to be hugely responsive, very agile, and doing our best for our owners to try and navigate such a very difficult period. And one great thing, we were very keen to keep good rolling activity, and we've managed to come up with a rolling commercial 12-month plan so that always we can see what's coming up, what is the next thing, and using our committee to adapt to the changing demands within each market to make sure that it's relevant. There's still quite a bit of work to do, I think, with Continental Europe as we're starting to work through what really takes, what activities are needed and at what point, and using some great data and insight to help us work out when should those tactics be deployed. And I think IHG used the committee really well to get a very good rounded view of what happens across our entire European market. We're hugely, we're brilliantly represented, aren't we, Andrew? I mean, we've been having these calls, first of all, I think we had them bi-weekly in the early stage. We've now carried them on quarterly. We can't wait to get back to Rome and get them in person, which they're always brilliant two-day meetings and very well responded. And we have to just make sure that we keep that focus, keep the lens to drive performance as we go on this next phase of the journey together. So
just to add on the back of that, the diversity within the team and the experts in different fields add so much value, because the kind of line of question, whether it be sales or loyalty, distribution experts in revenue management, it means that everyone's got a different angle of thought and questioning, which gets brought to the table.
And we are, don't mean to say the other committees aren't important, but certainly when we joined the European regional committees, commercial is such a big piece of this. And when, as we start to talk shortly, I think, John, about the whole distribution angle, how our world is going to change and adapt the next 12 months, we take our roles very seriously, and I think IHG also support this committee so brilliantly well. We've got to make sure we keep that focus, keep the lens, and make sure that we're doing the best we can for our owners.
Just to add on to that, I kind of see what the time commitment is from both of you. You've got day jobs and you put the time and effort in to make sure that we're driving it for all the IHG owners, and IHG fully appreciate the time and effort that this put in. I think one of the bits that I know that you've worked hard with, Carol, as the chair, is, you know, finding that relationship with IHG, but also looking to the metrics so that we can measure the successes. Just kind of moving on, I think, you know, we talked about the pleasant surprise of the summer, you know, the strong occupancy led within the summer. You know, Andrew, I know that there was some thought process of, you know, what might happen after the summer, where the leisure starts drying up. And what have you seen as we've kind of got into the more autumnal and, you know, perish the thought, literally, of the winter months?
Yeah, well, very encouragingly, we have seen a prolonged, I might use the word summer, but we're definitely into autumn, leisure, business, and obviously a lot of pent-up demand. Travel, while opening up for leisure, is still fairly reduced when looking at the passenger numbers through the airports. So those leisure weekends, that longer weekend stay, is still really popular. So we're actually still driving really encouraging results, certainly for September, October. November's looking good too. So the picture actually from an overall perspective, is much more positive than we would have envisaged. And we're looking at a forecast, and we're growing in the month, full month, on most months at the moment. So that's a really positive outlook and picture. I do have some concerns, obviously, as we start to move forward and that piece. We are seeing corporate return, but it has been fairly slow. So it's really looking at how we're driving corporate travel and share. And obviously, you can't drive corporate travel. So the business traveller's choice, what we need to be focusing on is driving and winning share and making sure that we are achieving our share of the business for all our corporate accounts, and then being able to make sure they steer through their booking channel, whether it's on their online booking channel, whatever it needs to be, rather than pushing out onto OTA, which is obviously a little bit of a murky picture at the moment, because a lot of the corporates tend to be using third-party sites. So that's just an area of concern for us, and making sure that we are doing all we can to make sure we're getting that right market share return.
Are you seeing that as well, Carol? I mean, I've heard that some of the challenges is we can't fully understand where corporate's coming back because of how it's delivering.
Absolutely. So, I mean, some of our hotels in the cities were like, what are we busy with? And we just don't know. So, you know, it's getting back to our front desk teams to say, who are these people, you know, when they're checking in, who, what type of demographic? Is it changing? And I know myself, I'm sure you guys do too. There is getting a different mix of people on trains and, you know, in transport walking around cities again. But the brands all have a real challenge here, I think, to reposition themselves because the OTAs have taken a huge amount of dominance in this space over the summer. And, you know, it's how do we work together to get that back? Because the OTAs have a place. I think there is a confidence in what the likes of Booking.com, sorry, as an indirect operator, an online travel agent, that we need to try and get that balance back. We'll maybe have a chat about loyalty, which I think is important to pick up. And we'll come back to talking about OTA, online travel agents, and the whole acquisition costs and how the whole landscape is changing again. And we talk at length in our committee about the pivot point between at what stage is it right for the online travel agents to still play a major part? And when do we flip that more towards brand channels? Because at the moment, it still is about driving demand. But then we need to start to really think about acquisition costs and profitability and owning our guests again.
I think that's so true. I think in terms of looking at OTAs over the last 18 months, where we've had hotel closures in different markets, the travellers have started to use an OTA for a broader site of market to see what deals are up. And that loyalty probably has fallen down their priority order because it was literally they're looking for what hotel is open, where at what price, and with so many hotels either closed or gone on to exclusive use contracts or so forth. So that's been a real interesting one to see how we can try and pull that back and make sure that, as you say, Carol, the cost of sale piece gets really addressed. Certainly turning it from a corporate point of view, obviously we've got complications of VAT change just taking place. Got it in April as well. So from a static point of view, that adds further complications to the RFP season. We've got the challenges around increased labour costs, utilities, and then a business mix, which is probably too high in OTA. So we really need to try and work to address that balance and bring it back.
And I guess that's where the loyalty piece really comes into play, because the key buzzword, I was at a conference in London yesterday, leadership from chaos, that was hugely well represented. You could tell everybody just wanted to get back out, enjoy each other's time and hear panel debates. And one of the big buzzwords was around personalization. And for us, this is definitely around loyalty, the use of the mobile app. How do we really start to impact that? So not just from a guest experience angle when they are in our properties and get to enjoy that great hospitality experience, but making sure through the booking channel, efficient, but most of all that it's personalised.
Yeah, and they're getting true recognition. I think that's what every traveller wants to feel.
I suppose one of the bits to come back to is just understanding how we get some transparency of the data to actually know who our customer is. Is there any other way that we can do that apart from just talking to their customers at the desk? Is there any other way to delve deeper in that? Or is it just kind of the old kind of 9 yards where we're out there just trying to work out, you know, who the customers are? Are they local corporates? Is it, is it leisure guests? Or what I'm hearing is there's more, you know, of a combined corporate and leisure travel. It's 2 days corporate and then bringing on 2 days leisure.
Yeah, I think that's happening quite a lot. The blurring of lines where people are deciding to do a couple of days travel. I think the whole way that business travel is conducted now, there's much more flexibility in terms of the way people work. So that's a real mindset piece that we need to look at. And I think in terms of identifying travellers, yes, there's a piece around front desk teams and engaging them, making sure they're asking in the right questions and identifying, but also looking at from a sales perspective, how we're prospecting the accounts, using the tools that are available. Construction, like the Glenigan tool, for example, gives us data on local projects. So it gives us a head start in understanding what kind of clients will be using the hotel. And that can be a really helpful tool to try and make sure we're setting up the right packages and so forth to encourage perhaps a business and leisure stay.
I think the flexation, as it's known, isn't it, is a really interesting point. And again, something that was debated yesterday at the conference, which was, it's all now about whether you can work from home, the ship, the beach, or a hotel. So really getting that flexible approach. And I think it's something that as hoteliers, we need to embrace, to start to think about packages where you can create that working environment, the longer stay experience, where you can bring your family on the journey with you. But that does also bring the other conversation about the elongated impact to traditional corporate as we know it, whether or not that is ever going to come back. How are our cities going to regenerate if there's going to be this complete change of approach and habits for an awful lot of guests?
Can I maybe pick up on one of the things that you spoke about, Andrew, and was just about the RFP, you know, with the corporates? Can you maybe talk a wee bit like with that and what you're seeing and what, you know, both IHG and other brands are doing through this process?
Obviously, here we are mid-October, so it's RFP season. The strategy to roll over again makes a lot of sense in terms of where we are realistically. I think we need to be pushed back very heavily on any rate drops, given the increased cost into the business. We're advising our hotels, you know, be firm, push back, and we're encouraging IHG to really fight on our behalf on that. The interesting dynamic has been really around the shift to dynamic pricing, so that percentage off bar, and really how we should use this season as an opportunity now to really reduce RFPs, switch onto a dynamic platform. They get their rate discounted from bar, and then it floats up. As the recovery comes through, our rates will return, and that's a much better model for us and completely reliant on demand.
You know, and especially with some of the points you brought up before about some of the labour challenges we have, where at certain times we might need to just restrict our inventory. So therefore, you know, the corporates then getting a discount against what we're, you know, the hotel's charging, as opposed to a flat rate. One of the points, I think, that IHG talked about rolling over a number of its RFPs, is that what you're seeing, or do you still see that there's quite a lot of work to be done with individual corporates?
We're seeing quite the vast majority are rolling over, which is encouraging. Naturally, it's been a kind of ticking time bomb. We expected some of the procurement directors and travel managers to be utilising the perceived drop in demand in some locations to renegotiate rates. And I think that's something that we really need to fight against, because it really eats into the margin for owners. So that's something that we'll try and really move away from and move into this dynamic platform and either roll over the static rate or move to there.
Thanks, Andrew. I suppose the other bit, just to kind of pick up before we maybe look at the distribution channels, is just the groups and meetings, because I know that both of you have been heavily involved, both in groups and meetings, but also how some of those are booked through the IHG systems. So maybe an overview of the groups and meetings piece, Andrew, and then, you know, Carol, you might want to pick up on the...
Sure. Yeah, definitely. I mean, this for us is such an important segment, and the return of it is just absolutely critical. So I'm really excited that IHG have partnered with other brands for Groups 360, which obviously is now Book Direct. So this initiative we've been after for a long time. There's a couple of reasons for it. It simplifies the whole booking process. So by able to go online, you're able to book a simple meeting, confirm it there and then. Makes so much more sense. It avoids labour costs, because we're not taking the inquiry and processing it manually. It's much quicker for the client. They know exactly what they're going to get. They see the availability there online as well. So it's a great step forward. We have to look at third-party agents and costs. Obviously, we have great relationships, and IHG, for example, have great relationships, and they'll continue for the more complex meetings and events. We need those agents, and they're an integral part of the meetings segment. But for a simple board meeting and a simpler platform, it's so much more efficient, and it reduces that agency commission cost for us. So the more that we can switch into Book Direct makes so much more sense. So to have this all on connectivity, it's going to be a great step forward. The pilots, like Carol, I sit on different committees, and part of the global sales committee is around looking at Group 360 or Book Direct as it now is, and they're already well established in the States with the pilots, now rolling out pilots programs in Europe, and that's a really exciting step forward for us to try and regrow the profitability in the meeting segment.
And you know, we should be pretty proud, John and Andrew, that we led the way with this. And, you know, we've been lobbying for it for some time, and we took this forward over the past few years using a third-party intermediary, and which IHG did embrace and use that as a pilot set to really understand that, you know what, there is value here. And the key thing for us is making sure that our owners don't need to invest in huge amounts of tech to make this happen. And thankfully, we don't. It is a commission. It's a small commission. You would pay that to a third party anyway. But we need to look at, as this evolves, how there does need to be connectivity potentially in the future, how we build that out, and how does that look on the tech platform, and make sure that our committees are aligning with the technical roadmap to make sure that that's in play.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we have been instrumental in driving this forward, you know, not just with the Owners Association, but with IHG in Europe. They have really been pushing this agenda for us. Yeah. And I think it's kind of quarter one, 22, is when they're kind of looking at it being available.
Yeah, we've actually got one of the pilots, so we're about to go live with one of our big Crown Plazas. Mm. And I've shared that with Andrew. It's really exciting stuff. So yeah, let's see.
Really looking forward to getting that underway for Q1.
Because I know with the Owners Association, it's one of the things that we are advocating with IHG. And to be fair, they're listening and pushing as well about continual use of tech as the labour cost starts increasing. Therefore, we're much more interested in investing in technology, because we see an ROI that if we can cut out the manual processing, it certainly helps. There's been some significant changes in the distribution landscape, Carol. How do you feel IHG are addressing those?
Yeah, this has been a really big focus for us in the Global Digital Committee for, I think, the last kind of 3-4 years. I've been a part of that. And I think IHG originally had a performance marketing program that was there to help fund the spend online, the digital space. And as we all know, that's evolved dramatically over the past kind of 3, 4, 5 years in particular, as people have moved and using tablet, using mobile, the inability to sort of like track the guest journey, and that needed to change. And this is where their program called Ignite came from, which was an evolvement of that. So looking at their digital platform, charging a digital commission on all digital spend to help them fund our ability to market and merchandise the brand in this space. And I have to say that the team have shared a lot of detail with us. It's a very complex space, and it's very young in its journey, because it launched kind of in pandemic, really, at the start of last year. So we really haven't yet had any good, meaningful data and insight to help us truly evaluate how that program is going. So we are now at a stage where we need to challenge more. I think we need to look holistically at the total digital cost for whether or not the Boost program, which is a program that hotels can effectively, very aptly named actually, boost their spend specific to their markets to drive digital performance, and look at what the impact is of that on channel delivery as a whole. So in the past, you know, we've had some very strong metrics where we want the indirect performance to be set at, where we want brand direct to be. And this is where we need to get to now, and understand the place that our indirect partners play alongside the use of programs like this to drive the direct sale. I think that's just absolutely critically important. And the other thing that I think is important to note, being working with branded partners, this for me, I don't know how you feel, Andrew, but this is the new dark art. This is what we used to kind of call revenue management, was that sort of witchery that our revenue management team used to play. And this, for me, in the space of digital, is exactly that new space.
I so agree with you. And the team in RBH, we are staffing up in this area because it's a new skill set, and you need experts in this area.
Yeah.
It's an area where that real deep understanding, it's not something that can be glossed over, really need to understand. And the transparency of the spend as well, of what's being spent, where and why.
Yeah.
And again, looking at what it's actually there to achieve and whether it's on track to achieve it.
That's it, exactly. And it's going to be fascinating to see when we pull all this together, because there are rising costs, even within a branded environment, that we need to look at what really does it cost us now to drive performance? What is the true brand cost? And as we start to get more transparency around this, this, I think, for our committee as a whole, needs to be one of our big focuses for our charter for next year, which is all around culminating all of these brand costs to work out where the true value is for our owners. So I think that's going to be key. But, you know, there's great specialists within the team of IHG. What we need to do is just keep on that challenge to get great data to make sure that we can measure that true digital output.
Yeah, and I know that we're kind of working with them just to understand what that transparency looks like and what good looks like, and setting up KPIs to encompass that so that we can see if it's driving the right performance or not.
Yeah.
And that's very much linked into the, you know, how we see the segmentation moving over the next 6, 12, 18, 24, 24 months.
Yeah, and you said about metrics before, John. This is what this has to all be about. You know, this has to form the heart of those metrics. So, yeah.
And, you know, we've covered a lot in the last, I don't know, 40 minutes, an hour. It seems longer. Maybe if I kind of just kind of go to each of you for a kind of a 60-second roundup about what do you think 2022 will look like?
Oh, gosh. Well, I think what we need to do is work with our brand and supplier partners to continually evaluate where we are with general demand patterns, with segmentation, and also feeder market assumptions. The great thing is for us guys is intent to travel is high. And, you know, we've got to feel very positive about the future. Online reputational management, I think, is going to be absolutely key as we get that balance between demand and the operational excellence in delivery. And our key ethos is that we need to focus on where we're going to invest our time more effectively with our people, where we spend our time, and also in our technology to help us be successful for what's going to be a bit of a crazy 12 months ahead, I think.
I think for us, it's a lot of similarities in there. First and foremost, we're a people industry, and this is going to largely come down to retaining and attracting the best talent in all of the aspects of commercial. Planning out segmentation will be really key because it is evolving. It's changing a lot, and the commercial plans and activities that we need to put forward to plan ahead. So that's a key one. Digital marketing, which we just talked about, I think this is going to have an increasing importance. It's already at the top of the agenda, but it's gonna stay there from a piece moving forward. And then I think the excitement for me is trying to stimulate and help the industry stimulate the return of meetings and events, capitalize on that pent up social banqueting demand. We're expecting high levels for weddings and so forth next year. So an optimistic outlook, I have to say. I think when you look at some of the STR work that's been done, you keep seeing the forecasts are improving versus their previous forecasts. So the speed of recovery is picking up. So we're really encouraged about the outlook ahead.
Just to kind of to add on to that, I think that 2022, when you look at some of the forecasts that are coming from STR and other industry sources, the outlook is continually improving. You know, how fast we will get back to 2019 year levels will be interesting. You know, they're certainly the timescales are coming shorter rather than pushing out. But just on that note, I would like to thank you both for your time. It's been great. This is our first podcast. I'm sure without encroaching any more in your time. I'm sure it won't be our last, and we'll probably try and put
something in. Oh, we need a version 2, John.
We'll need to pencil in something for quarter 1, 22. So thank you, guys.
Thanks, John. It's been a real pleasure. Yeah, cheers.
Really enjoyed it. Thanks.
So that wraps up today's session. Firstly, we want to thank you for listening. We really hope that you found today thought-provoking and useful to you. If you did, we would love for you to share this content with others that you think will find it useful too. You can leave us a rating and feedback, or subscribe to hear the next episode, which will be coming your way very soon. Finally, if you are an IHG franchisee, you can head over to owners.org for more information, or log into our member centre where you will find supporting information and additional tools and resources to help support your businesses. Thanks again from your host, John, and myself, Carly, and we look forward to seeing you next time.